Amen. It's good to be here. And if you got your Bible, you can be opening up to Exodus chapter 17. And basically, what I'm going to try to do is just not mess anything up. That's just the honest truth. But what you just heard from Brother Sonny, I've never met him. Never knew what he looked like before he walked up here, but that was absolute truth. Being a young preacher, kind of know a little bit about it like that myself. If you're not careful, the hand of God will get so strong on you, you think you'll get in there and people will start calling you to come preach. And it's in all of us. It's within every one of us. We start getting noticed. Our chest pokes out a little bit. And if you're not careful, just like the brother said, it'll get to a point where the only time you open that book as when somebody rings your phone to get you to come preach. And you'll get in that book and you'll say, Lord, I just need a message because people know who I am. And I just want to go help these people. I really just want to go show them what I know. So, Lord, if you could just give me something just to help these people, just kind of shine a light on me, I'd appreciate it. I'm serious. You'll get to that point. I've only been preaching a few years, but you will get to that point, I promise you. I appreciate that, brother. That hit me right smack in the face. And I appreciate it. Everything you've heard this week has been absolute truth, and I'm just going to try to follow along with that. Amen. I'm sure by now you know that I am the slowest talking individual in the building. Maybe, possibly, with the exception of my younger brother. But I'm glad to be here. It's an honor to be here, like Brother Blake said. I'm not worthy to be here. And I'm not here to try to impart to you what all I know. I'm not going to try to give you some deep doctrinal truth, some revelation. You say, why? Because Dr. Walker's sitting up there. Go talk to Dr. Walker. I mean, I'm not the man for that. I'm just going to try to help you this morning. Just try to help you, try to be an encouragement. On the other side of what Brother Sonny said, with all these messages, like the messages we heard last night, Brother Pilkington and Brother Reagan and the other brother, if you're not careful, we're talking about standing this week, we'll get so far on the other side of that that we'll just walk around like when Brother Jared and Miss Jess were singing a while ago, I was looking at those plants right there thinking I could throw one up in the balcony. I could make it up there with that plant. But you'll get so zealous and you'll jump out with good intentions, but you'll be out ahead of God. So we're talking about standing. We all should stand. I agree with everything that's been preached. What I want to look at this morning is knowing where you stand. Knowing where you stand. Who will you be is the question that I'll ask. I won't preach long. I'll get up here and say what I got to say, and I'll get down. So without further ado, Exodus chapter number 17 is a very familiar passage. We all know the story. It was preached out of a little bit last night. Just going to try to draw some more things out of it and just try to, honest to God, just try to be a blessing to you this morning, try to help you. Exodus chapter number 17, look at verse 5. We'll begin. We'll go all the way to the end of the chapter. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady to the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray and we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for the week we've had. Thank you for all the preaching that we've had. God, every one of these men have gotten up here and obeyed you, and it's been a blessing. Lord, I've been fed whether anybody else has or not. God, I've got some help, and I pray now you do the same with me. Just set your spirit upon me, God. I pray you guard my mouth. Lord, just help me to say what exactly you want me to say and nothing more. God, just to try to be a help, I pray that you would manifest yourself through the preaching of your word. Lord, I thank you for this church, what it stands for. Thank you for everybody here today, and I pray that we might see you and grow closer to you by the time this thing's over. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, what I want to talk about this morning, we'll discuss a few different types of people in that passage. Like I said, we've all read that before. We've heard it preached on many, many times. And for the sake of alliteration, the first couple people we'll talk about, won't spend much time on them, just kind of point them out. We see there in the first part around verse 5 and 6, we have the enabler, Lord God Almighty. We have the man that he has enabled, which would be Moses. Amen. There's something that kind of points this to young preachers and myself. I have to look in the mirror and remind myself this all the time. Everybody can't be a Moses. You understand what I'm saying? The problem that we'll get to having with that and what will go on and take place with that is you'll wind up with, as we say back home, you'll have too many chiefs and no Indians. You'll have everybody trying to run the show and everybody trying to call the shots. And I was talking to one preacher that had an individual approach him about how he needed to run his church. And they were standing there by the platform when she came up to him. And he walked over to the window and he looked outside. He could see the church sign glowing there. She said, "What are you doing, preacher?" He said, "Well, I'm just making sure my name's still on the sign. Because God called me to be in this church. He called me to pastor this church. And I'm going to do it according to how God wants to do it." And it's not always going to sit well with everybody else. Sometimes you're going to get plowed from the pulpit. And if you're not careful, when you do get a turn to take the pulpit or you get a turn to sing or whatever, you'll try to plow somebody. Everybody can't be a Moses. Some of us just have to be the people that show up. Honest to God, some of us just have to be the people that come to church and we're faithful and we come to Sunday school and we take notes. We just got to be those people. We've got Moses established around here. Dr. Peacock, goes without saying. Amen. He's in charge. He is the man around here. He takes good care of it. He does a fine job of it. We don't need another Moses. We just need some people to come in and sit down and try to be a help to Moses and not chide with him like the children of Israel are doing. You start getting to be a little more like Moses and all these people start coming around, you realize you don't want to be like Moses at all. People come to you with all this stuff, all these problems. You're like, "Man, just put me back on the backside of the desert by myself." Because like Brother Sonny said, God will put His hand on you, and if you're not careful, heard Brother Jared preach on this a little bit last week. Over in Exodus 14, when Moses parted the sea, it says in the Scripture, God called on Moses, he held out his rod, and the sea parted. Moses parted the Red Sea. You've always heard that. Amen. You get over in Psalm 78, it's giving you the same story. It says, God part of the Red Sea. You know what you'll do if you're not careful? "Lord, here I am. I'm Moses. I have my rod. You just tell me where to point it and I'll part whatever it is you want me to part. You just tell me where you want me to go, Lord, and who needs what, and I'll just point it at them and it'll just do exactly what it needs to do." Know what you'll wind up doing is splitting up a bunch of churches and a bunch of families and doing a bunch of damage. Holding the rod the whole time. We have to be mindful of that. We have the enabler. We have the man that has been enabled. Down in verse number 8, moving right along, not going to be very long this morning. We see the enemy, Amalek. We know Amalek is a type of the flesh. It's always going to come about. You see over there in the first part of the chapter there, it said they did chide with Moses. You got to watch out for that stuff. This is a growing church. Obviously, look going up next door. The more people you get around, it's just the truth. The more people that are involved, the more chiding there is likely to be. There's no avoiding it. And when these people come around and maybe somebody sits in your pew or somebody parks in your spot or anything as small as that, honest to God, there's been people that hadn't walked in churches in 40 years because somebody sat in their pew. You see, when he gives the potato salad illustration, you know, well, they moved my tater salad to the back of the table and nobody ate it, and so I'm not ever going. That's real. That's real. That's real in Alabama. Amen. Can I get a witness, Brother Jared? Amen. We know people, honest to God. He says that stuff and names come to mind. I'm not kidding. Brother Dennis knows about it. Just get so bent out of shape. Or you'll have somebody over here talking. You hear him talk about these ladies running around with a 40-foot tongue. I know some of those, but back home, you see what it is about a lot of men in the South, you know, big old tough guys. I know a lot of men that's got a bottom lip longer than 40 feet. You see somebody get over here and get to talking, and they got to prove themselves, so they're just going to blow up like a balloon and just drag that lip everywhere they go. And they're going to kill whatever God's trying to do. So just to understand that as the longer this thing goes on, the more people start coming around, you got to watch out for that stuff because Amalek will show his face and ruin everything. He'll ruin everything. And if you're not careful, it'll be your flesh that's doing it. You'll be the one that, well, I don't really agree with the way that's going. Or you might even be the one that gets on the phone and says, you know, we need to pray for Brother so-and-so. Yep. Somebody tells me that, I say, okay, don't say another word. Don't say another word. I don't need to know what's going on, bro. I just know Brother so-and-so, just like the rest of us, needs prayer. I don't need to know that whatever's going on with whoever he's dealing with. Because odds are you got some of the same stuff in your closet. Amen. We have the enemy. Don't be the enemy, obviously. We have a promise in verse 16 right there. He's going to be around till we get out of here. There's no avoiding it. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be attacks. There's going to be confrontation from your own flesh until the day you leave this earth. In verse number 9, see in the first part of the verse there, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men. So there were obviously more people there than just Moses and Joshua. There were some guys there. We'll call these the ones that have enlisted. We're talking about standing. We're talking about not overstepping our boundaries. We're talking about taking a good, strong stand for the Lord. Amen. That's why we're here this week. But knowing where you stand. There was an army going along with Joshua and Moses and Aaron and Hur and all these guys going out to fight Amalek. These guys have just signed up. And let me tell you, I know a crowd this size, we're all Bible believers, but there could be somebody in here today that has not enlisted. There's always a chance that somebody could be here that don't have their name on that draft card. The door is closing. The lights are going out. The plants are remaining stationary. It's going away, I'm telling you. If you're not sure of it, honest to God, you need to get sure right now. Everybody in here may be saved. More than likely, we all are. Amen for that. But if you're not, and I'm not trying to get you to come up here and get saved again just because you got backslid, we would call that repenting or getting right. Not what other preachers would call getting saved again. We won't go into all that. But we have these that are just signing their name. You know, that's what most of us are going to be. We're just going to be the ones that say, okay, God, I accept you as my Savior. I give you my life. And that's just, I just want to be here. I just want to be in your house. That's me down here, man. I just want to come in this place. I don't care if I got to stand outside. I don't care if I got to stand in the parking lot. I just want to be right here. It's only my second year coming down here. Lord willing, won't ever miss another one. It's good to be here. Because I'm in here with a lot of other people that have enlisted in the same fight that I'm in. Like that old song says, and we're on the winning side. And we're going to find that out all too soon. So if you have not enlisted, if you're not part of the army this morning, you need to just go ahead and get in. Amen. Moving along, we'll spend a little time on these last two, and then I'll close it out and give it back to the preacher. See there in the same verse, verse number 9, Moses said unto Joshua, he's putting Joshua in charge. Choose us out men, go out and fight. With Amalek tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up the top of the hill. We have Joshua, we'll just refer to him again for alliteration, the one as the engaged. The one that Moses has placed his hands on, given him some instructions. And it's no secret, may not be the case down here, but back home, there's not near as many people get engaged as what we need. I remember when I was playing football in the ninth grade, I was on the varsity team, but I was like 15th string. I really was. Playing football. I played corner, end, guard, and tackle. All at the same time. All four positions. I was that good. Sat down in the corner, on the end of the bench, guarded the water cooler, and tackled anybody that got close to it. All at the same time, all four positions. So I'm just like a lot of y'all in here. Y'all wasn't good. I mean, I was a ball player. Yeah, I used to throw the pigskin around. Not, man, you didn't. You might have warmed up the quarterback, you know. You might have ran the ball out there to the ref between the plays, but odds are you're just like the rest of us. But there's a difference in being enlisted and being engaged. When I was on that ball team, I'll never forget it. It was homecoming, my ninth grade year. It was late October, starting to cool off outside, and I knew there was not a possibility that I was going in the game. So why would I stand on the sidelines and freeze? No, under my uniform, I had on a pair of sweatpants. I didn't put in my knee pads or anything like that night because it was freezing. And those knee pads are not warm. I put on sweatpants under my football pants, had on a sweatshirt under my shoulder pads, and I was standing on the sideline just like I did every other week, watch all the good players out there scoring touchdowns and winning the game and all that stuff. And we're up like 40-0 at halftime. Hey, man, but if you would have went and looked in that role for that football team, my name was on the list. I was number 80. I'm honest to God. I was on the team. My name was there. I was enlisted. You could go and see, hey, yeah, he is part of this team. He don't do nothing, but he's part of the team. At halftime, we're in the field house, and I'm sitting there just, all these other guys, man, we got older guys playing both sides of the ball, getting beat to death. But we're winning. It's homecoming, man. Everybody's fired up. I'm cozy, man, just warm. All I need was some hot chocolate. And the coach said something that just caught me off guard. He said, yeah, by the way, second half, freshman linebackers are playing. I'm a freshman linebacker. 15th string, but I'm freshman linebacker. And I began to worry. And I began to not enjoy the homecoming game anymore. Because although the other team was getting beat 40-0, they knew there were some little skinny freshmen coming out there in the second half and they were going to get to take it out on them. And it was me. So what I do, I went and took my sweatpants off, put my knee pads in, took my sweatshirt off, and for 30 minutes got my brains beat out. Fullback, man, every time he'd step in the hole, I'd just turn. And he would just shove my head down in the ground and step on it. He enjoyed doing it. I didn't make a single tackle. But you know what I realized after that night? There's a difference in being engaged and being enlisted. You get in a place like this and start rubbing shoulders and, oh, there's Brother Jared over there. I'm enlisted with Brother Jared. I'm in the same file with him. I'm on the same list as Dr. Peacock. He's first string. I'm 15th string. But my name's on the list. And he comes to you and says, I want you to preach. And you go, man, I got to take my sweatpants off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I was talking to Brother Blake this morning. We got here. We were both tired. I said, Brother, I was up to 1:30 last night. He looked at me. He said, Brother, I was up till 4. Say why? Because we're becoming engaged. And let me tell you something about being engaged. There may be somebody in here today that has been called to preach, or I'm not trying to push any of that, but if you have been, then you know. If God's dealt with you about something, you know what it is. Only you and Him know. A lot of times what you'll do is you'll get ready maybe to hand God that draft card and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to go into battle. But your past will come up. Amalek will rise up. And it'll keep you from going anywhere for God. It'll keep you from doing anything at all. When I was 18 years old, God started dealing with me about preaching. 5 years I tried to get out of it. I'm ashamed to say it. That was 5 years of misery. Now, if the world was looking at me, in the world's eyes, it would have been the 5 best years of my life. Got to go all over the place, do all kind of things. You know, in Alabama, all we do is hunt and fish. I mean, that's just, I've been all over doing both of those for 5 years. But I was miserable because I was enlisted and I had been called upon to be engaged, but I was not engaged. On May the 12th, 2019, Mount Zion Baptist Church, Shelby, Alabama. As far as I could go, man. As much as I could take. Went down to the altar. My dad's a pastor up there. I said, God, here I am. I'm ready. I'm ready to engage. I'm here. He didn't say, oh, son, you've had your sweatpants on for 5 years. I can't use you. He said, let me go get you a new uniform. Let me get you something that you can go out there and you can have some protection. And I'll use you a little bit, despite of everything you've done. I'll let you play a little bit. I'll put you in the game. Let me tell you something. Nothing in this world is worth talking you out of being engaged in doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing at all. Nothing this world has to offer is worth it. I was talking to a man up around my house the other day, a couple counties over. He said, Brother, we've got 30-some-odd Baptist churches in our county. We have 13 pastors. Why is that? Nobody's getting engaged anymore. Because there's a difference in being engaged and being enlisted. You see, when you get engaged, you're going to get your brains knocked out from time to time. And you're going to get stepped on. But that's part of the game. That's part of why we are here. You get beat up all year long and then you come in here a place like this and God starts breathing and it'll just charge you up and you say, God, I want to go out and do something. That's why we're here this week. To stand. But the bottom line is we need some more people to get engaged. Some of these older guys, I say this respectfully, don't get me wrong, They can't go like they used to. It's just the bottom line. That's the circle of life. That's the way things go. We need some more people to become engaged. Quit talking yourself out of it. Quit letting the devil come to you and say you can't do it. Quit letting everybody else come to you and say, oh, you don't want to do that. Quit listening to all the brethren to say, oh, you don't want to preach. You don't want to do anything for God. You know, you can go to church on Sunday morning, but you need to go over here on Sunday night. You can go to church on Sunday morning, but Wednesday night, you know, we got to go over here and do this. No, you need to get engaged and get locked in for what God wants you to do. Quit playing around and beating around the bush and just get locked in and get determined. God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go where you want me to go and I'm going to stay there. That is what we need. Know where you stand. Are you on the verge? See, sometimes you'll stand there with your foot in the door. Or you won't come in the church, you'll walk around and peek through the window. Or maybe sometimes through a preacher or something like that, God will deal with you and you say, God, yeah, I know. I know I need to. And you'll give it a chance. You'll open the window that much. You need to just go ahead and get in. You need to just go ahead and walk in the door, turn around, lock it behind you, throw the key away, and just get in. Who will you be? Where will you stand? And lastly, in verses 10 to 12, I'll close with this. Won't read it for the sake of time. We'll see those. We know Aaron and her, they're sent to encourage. Everybody's not going to be the Moses. Everybody's not going to be the preacher. Everybody's not going to be the Sunday school teacher. Everybody's not going to be the singer that just gets up here time and time again and God breathes on it and people get stirred and get help. Everybody can't be that. Some of us just have to be here as an encouragement. You say, why? How many pastors do we have in here today? Would you just slip your hand up if you pastor a church? How many preachers do we have in here today? Look around. Say, what can I do to be an encouragement? How many people just raise their hand that you can pray for? How many people just raise their hand that all you literally have to do? See, I'm not a pastor, but I've lived with one my whole life. I know a little bit about it. All you have to do is show up and be faithful. Just show up. You don't have to run and shout and throw a plan or get in the pulpit or do anything. Just show up on a Wednesday night. I know how hard it is. I promise. I know what it's like to go in church on a Wednesday night. And not because of the preaching, not because of the singing, but you are so sleepy you can't hold your eyes open because you have been working like a dog all day. I know what it's like. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to just suck it up and go on and encourage the preacher anyway. Because he's been doing the same thing and he's still here trying to feed you on a Wednesday night. He's been doing all that and he spent God knows how many hours in the book trying to get something to give to you on Wednesday night. You may not come in here and shout it out and just have a throwdown and the Lord show up and do all kind of stuff and people get right, but you could show up and be an encouragement. We had a revival last week at my church, and at the closing of that thing, my dad, he's been going through a lot over the past year. Nothing in comparison to what some of you have. I understand that. But for us, it's been pretty rough. He's been pretty sick. At the end of that revival, he stood up Wednesday night. He thanked the church for being there. Our members were there faithfully every single night, Monday through Wednesday. We had visitors there every night. It encouraged him just to see people. Not because he needs to be preaching to 50 or 100 people or put a number on it. No, he'd preach the same way if he was preaching to three. He'd preach the same way if he was preaching to one individual. But it encouraged him to be preaching to more. I think back over my life, and I'm done with this, but you won't hear me preach too many times that I don't mention this individual. You say, well, who encouraged you, preacher? Not any preacher. I love Brother Jared. He's one of my favorite preachers. Wasn't him. My dad, my pastor. Wasn't him. You say, well, it had to be a singing group or something like that. No, it wasn't. It's a little old lady about that tall. For years and years and years, I'd go sit down and be my grandmother. I'd go sit down at her table. She lived right across the street from us. She'd say, "Buddy, I know God's got something for you to do, and I've been praying about it." And at that time, I was trying to get away from the call to preach, and I was thinking, I sure do wish you'd quit praying about it. Because it's been about to kill me. But she'd say, "No, buddy, I've been praying for you, and I know that God got something for you to do." And I'd get up early every morning, leave before daylight, and go to work. I'd be walking my truck, and I'd look down there across the street. In the haze of the early morning, under a street light, the fog rolling in off the river, and I'd look and see the porch light on. Didn't matter what morning, didn't matter if it was raining, didn't matter what, how cold, how hot, I'd look down there and I'd see a porch light burning. I'd see a little old lady sitting there with her Bible open in her lap. So what was she doing? She was encouraging me. She was encouraging her son that was trying to pastor that church. There's a misconception that if we're not the ones up here preaching or we're not the ones that are getting noticed, then we're not important. That's not the case at all. Because if all you got is a house full of preachers up here, we ain't got nobody to preach to. It's not about the preaching. It's not about the singing. It's not about being Moses. It's not about being Joshua. It's just about standing where God wants you to stand. If all God wants you to be is an encouragement, do it. If all God wants you to do is come in on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and just fill a hole in a pew, do it. But I guarantee you that's not all He wants you to do. We just saw all the hands go up for all the people you could be encouraging. You say, "Well, I don't know any of them." Yeah, but we have a language that nobody else, you know, nobody gets it. You ever have one of those times you just know, man, somebody's calling my name out. And it's usually about 3 to 4 minutes later you get that text. "Hey, brother, I'm praying for you." So you can encourage somebody out in Michigan or Tennessee or West Virginia, anywhere, from right here. That little old lady that encouraged me so much, she didn't do it up on a platform. She didn't do it teaching a Sunday school class. She didn't do it up singing. She did it from a prayer closet. The emphasis this week is standing. We all have a place to stand. Whether you're the one that gets called to preach, whatever it may be, you have a place here this week. Maybe it's just being encouragement. I know I could use an encouragement from time to time. Who will you be? Will you stand? That's all there is to it. We said all that to say this morning. Who will you be? Where will you stand? Will you just show up? Will you be faithful? Amen. Preacher.